Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us today. And back on the line today is Pastor Bill Jenkins, a good friend of our ministry. He's the founder and senior pastor of Destined Land Christian Centers. He's a television and radio host, an award-winning author, rapidly becoming known as an apostle of God with a prophetic voice. He works to release a message of hope into our world with uncompromising spiritual fervor. Pastor Bill takes on the toughest passages of Scripture and explains them in a practical and interesting way. And he is now the go-to guy when it comes to understanding biblical numbers and their spiritual significance. He's a devoted husband, father, and his passion is for others to become successful as they apply the principles of Christ. Pastor Bill is also a broadcaster on our radio station, Evangelism Radio, every day, Monday through Saturday, from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. He's also the founder of WIMD Radio, and I'm blessed to be able to share some of the broadcast time with him from our Freedom Through Faith broadcast as well. Pastor Jenkins married his beautiful wife, Britton, in 1998, and they have three sons, Bryce, Brock, and Brady. Pastor Bill enjoys spending time with his family and firmly believes that in order to be a leader of any kind, you must first be a good leader and a godly man in your own home. Pastor, thank you for taking the time to come back on the program today. I know your schedule is full, and I do appreciate you coming back on.
Hey, absolutely. Love being with you and appreciate the opportunity to talk about some of the things that I believe are going to take place and happen in 2019.
Amen. Now, a week or so ago, we talked about your new book, Decoding Deity. How's that book launch going? Was everything going all right?
It's going really good, yeah. Amen. People are really receiving it. It's like a college textbook where we're giving you names, colors, numbers, places, people, symbols in the Bible. Every time you see something in the Bible, it represents and means something. So Decoding Deity sort of unlocks those hidden mysteries, and it just takes you into an in-depth Bible study, basically, to see the consistency of God in the different numbers, the colors, the names, the symbols, the places, and the pieces, places of the Bible, in order to give you a better understanding of the intent of God for a passage of Scripture or for a story in the Bible. So it's really a great book, and it's an interesting read.
Amen. Yeah, the conversation we had about it was, I mean, it was just intriguing all the way through. It was a great, great interview. Now, today, I want to talk to you about a book that you put out each year called the Prophetic Almanac. But before we get into that, for those that missed our prior conversation, let's just start with the first question I ask everyone and catch us up. Other than the brief bio I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Pastor Bill Jenkins?
Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm an author, a pastor, and just someone who basically loves the Lord. You know, I always tell people I'm not a professional pastor, I'm not a professional preacher. I'm just somebody who loves the Lord, who's been called to help people to understand the Word and maybe, you know, hopefully take them to another level in their walk with the Lord. So I'm not, a superstar. I'm not anything, not anybody famous or anything. I'm just a simple person who loves the Lord, who loves getting truth and sharing it with others in order to help them to become everything that God wants them to be.
Amen. For those that don't know, you bounce back and forth between two churches. You want to tell us where your churches are located?
Yes, Indianapolis, Indiana, and then in Ontario, California. So it's the Church of Acts in Indianapolis, and then it is Destiny Land Christian Center in Ontario, California. So either one of those places are good places to get fed, ministered to, and allow the Spirit of God to work in your life and be schooled to rule and trained to reign in things of God.
Amen. You rack up them frequent flyer miles. All right, well, let's just do a quick recap of the Prophetic Almanac for 2018. Have you kept track of, you know, any type of tracking and things like that, percentages of things that you talked about in your book and watching them come to pass in 2018?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's one of the important things. You know, if you're going to be somebody who gives some prophecy, I think you need to prove that what you say is right.
Amen.
Or
amen.
You shouldn't be listened to.
That's right.
And so I love to do that. I'm never intimidated by that because, you know, I feel like if God gives me a word, it's going to be proven out over time. Mm-hmm. And so there's all kinds of different things that have come to pass. We have a whole list, and usually what we do is at the end of the year, we print those list for people to see, and it's really amazing. I get calls or texts or emails from people almost every day saying, wow, did you realize this happened? Did you realize that happened? You prophesied in the book over a year ago.
Wow.
Remember, these books are published a year or at least a month before the new year even begins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like I have all the opportunity in the world to guess or talk to people or find things out. The Lord is just speaking to me about different things based upon the number that is reflective of that current year, and it's kind of a neat little thing. I mean, a couple things just recently, at the beginning of the year, I declared that the greyhound, of all things, would be the animal of the year, and you think, why is that important? Well, in the Bible, the word dog is mentioned over 24 times, but the only specific dog mentioned in the Bible is greyhound,
okay.
And that's in Proverbs 30:31, and greyhounds are used for hunting and racing. Well, over the Thanksgiving, you know, what happens on Thanksgiving isn't just football, food, and family. It's also the Westminster Dog Show.
Uh-huh.
And the Greyhound won in its class. They have six
wow.
different classes. So the Greyhound won in its class, but it also won the Dog of the Year. So out of all the six classes, it was the Dog of the Year. And so what I do is I break that down. I give you positive characteristics, negative characteristics, talk to you about what greyhounds are, and then try to apply those truths to our life. For instance, you know, greyhounds are intelligent, affectionate, even-tempered, gentle, athletic, quiet, fast, loyal, peaceful, non-aggressive animals. Those are all good traits for us to have as Christians, so
Amen.
Maybe we ought to be praying for those things to be in our life. Now, some of the negative characteristics is, even though they're fast, they can lack endurance, they're independent, they lack discernment, they're territorial, prideful, they sleep a lot, they can even be lazy. You know, you hear of horse races and dog races. Well, the dogs that they race are the greyhounds. So it's interesting. And then also another little neat nugget is that every year on Thanksgiving, the president always pardons a turkey. Well, I declared that the vegetable of the year would be peas. And peas came out on CNN in the middle of the year and said it was the superfood of the year. I put that in the book. Those exact words were on CNN in the middle of the year. Obviously, I have no control over what goes on CNN. And then also the president pardoned a turkey on Thanksgiving whose name was
peas. Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, those are kind of lighthearted things. There's a lot of things like that in the book. I give you prophecies and predictions. The difference between the two is that predictions are things that I believe are of God, but I don't, like blame God if they don't come to pass. It's just something that I feel in my spirit. Prophecies are something I really believe that are going to happen. And a couple of those things were, you remember the volcanoes that took place in the summertime that erupted. Well, I put in there that large volcanoes would erupt and cause great damage to the land.
Yeah.
And so you see the ones in Hawaii, in our own nation, that destroyed thousands of acres because of that volcano, and it hadn't the volcano hadn't erupted in America for years.
Yeah.
If you go back to the beginning of the year, the Winter Olympics, you saw in South Korea. I told you there would be a scandal. Well, if you remember, during and after they suspended, even before Russia was suspended from even participating in there, and then they had some scandals going on in different events there and South Korea. They got it worked out, but still there was a scandal that unfolded right there at the Olympics. And so, so many different things. I talked about underdogs winning championships. If you go back to the beginning of the year, even look in the middle of the year where there were championships, underdogs were the ones who ended up being the champions. I talked about medical cures for major diseases. If you notice, just the other day when it came to Alzheimer's, they feel like they have discovered a gene that they can work with and to help to overcome Alzheimer's or to at least slow the process of it.
Yeah,
and so those are just a few of the things that are going on. I also give a prophecy for every state. And if you look at the prophecies in the book, it's I give you a scripture, a book study, a prophetic word. I tell you what the largest city is, the state motto, the key month, and something to pray for every single state. I sort of give you the spiritual forecast for 2018 for every state. I tell you the state of the year, which is Louisiana, which was the 18th state. And if you look at just if you just Google Louisiana in the news in 2018, you'll see all the different, you know, things that went on that revolve around the vision for 2018. 18 is a number of bondage. And so when you see that word or that letter or that number in the Bible, 18, it's about bondage. Just look up Louisiana. You'll be surprised how many things revolve around bondage just connected to Louisiana. And so I give you a prophetic word for every state. I get texts all the time, emails all the time from people who will say, wow, did you know this happened in my state? Did you know that went on in my state? You prophesied that over a year ago. I tell you cities to watch for and waterways to watch for, bridges to watch for. I talk about, you know, different plots that got unveiled before any damage was done in 2018. And some of those things were put in the book. There was in Georgia, in the middle of the year, during or at the beginning of the year, the springtime, there was a plot that was exposed in Georgia, and nothing came of it. It didn't garner a lot of news because there was no damage. And I talked about plots being exposed in Georgia in the springtime. So, I mean, almost every state, you know, I'm getting feedback from reading these things, looking at these words and seeing these prophetic things come to pass. You know, right before our very eyes. Also, one more thing. I know I'm talking a lot, but I also go through the chapter 18 and give you a chapter 18 summary of every book of the Bible that has a chapter 18 in it. So I talked about how this should be a year in Deuteronomy 18 where we seek greater discernment. Joshua 18 is about beware of the wolves. You know, wolves go after the stragglers. They go after individuals. They go after those people who are isolated. Well, you know, so many different churches and pastors I've talked to feel like, you know, there's more wolves that have come into their church trying to distract a, you know, faithful believer than ever before. First Samuel 18, I talk about the spirit of Saul. What's the difference between the spirit of Saul and the spirit of David? We don't want the spirit of Saul. We want the spirit of David in our life. You know, David fell. We read more bad about David than any other person in the Bible, but yet he was still a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
So there's hope for us, right?
That's right.
You know, we can make mistakes and sin and still be somebody who God is pleased with, because David's greatest gift, David's greatest talent wasn't his ability to sing or worship or play or fight or lead. His greatest ability was to repent.
Amen.
And he repented and made things right and made an effort, even when he made mistakes, to not make those same mistakes twice. So tons of different things in this book, and it's fun to watch it unfold. All of the different prophecies that God has given that I put in the book that come to pass really on a daily basis.
Yeah, amen. Before we get into 2019, tell us how you got started doing this.
Well, I think, you know what, I've been around in ministry for 30 years. I still feel young, so I still feel 30 years of old, so I started from the womb, you know, studying. But, you know, you always are looking for fresh ways. I've taught preachers and pastors and people for years on 10 or 11 different ways to study the Bible, and then the Lord really began to speak to me to begin to study everything in a scripture, not just to look at it, take it for face value, but to go deeper. Yeah. I believe it's God's will for him to reveal to us the deep things when we're searching them out. God wants us to search. God isn't wanting to make it so difficult that we can't find truth, but he wants us to at least put a little effort in. Sometimes people may say to you, you know, you got a great anointing on your life, Pastor. And so people probably say, well, I want the anointing you got. Well, here's the thing. You know, they may want it, but they're not willing to pay the price to get it.
Correct.
People don't know the sacrifice that you made, the cost that it takes, the things that you had to give up, the price you've had to pay, far more than money. Money is nothing. The time you had to invest. People don't understand what it takes to walk in the kind of anointing that, you know, someone like yourself has. And so the problem is people say they want it, but they don't really want it. They're talking, no action. And I really felt like God wanted me to begin to study and research the numbers and colors and names and release sort of like a manual on a yearly basis for the church to read. You've heard of the Farmer's Almanac, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And so I went to the Farmer's Almanac at Home Depot of all places. So God goes to Home Depot. God spoke to me at Home Depot. And I don't go there a lot because I don't even put a nail in the wall, okay? So I don't even know why I went there. I probably bought something for somebody
like
to do something.
I have to have help changing a light bulb.
I let my wife do it. And so, I went there and I saw at Home Depot the Farmer's Almanac, and God said, I want you to start writing the Prophetic Almanac. I said, What? He said, I want you to write a book on the things that I want people to know that are going to come to pass in that year. And so when he told me that, I yielded, I obeyed. The first book I wrote took me 5 days. I was in a closet for 5 days, literally, didn't come out. My wife, would periodically come and check on me to make sure I still had a pulse. for 5 days straight, I finished a whole book. Now, it hasn't been that easy since, but, the first book that I wrote, it sort of just evolved. And, the Lord gives me these truths. These things come to pass. It's amazing to watch. I love to evaluate the things that I'm saying because I feel like I need to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to give a word, I feel like, it ought to be something that is judged. The Bible says we don't ever accept or reject all words of prophecy. Mm-hmm. So just because somebody gives you a prophecy, you don't sit there and accept it and just do whatever they say. But you also don't reject it. The Bible is very clear that what you do with prophecy is that you judge the prophecy, and you wait for confirmation on that prophecy. And so, I don't mind at all. I want to be judged. When I give these words, I want to be judged to prove that what God is saying is true and right and comes to pass, because I feel like that is something that we need more of in the body of Christ, is accountability. And not just throwing out the fact that, hey, God spoke to me. God said. I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
They tag God's name onto something they want to do and act like they're being spiritual.
Right.
And you know better than anyone. When God tells you to do something, it don't always make you shout. It often makes you cry.
You don't
sit there and say, "Woo, that's great, that's awesome." You're like, no, you try to talk him out of it, just like Jesus tried to talk the Father. Is there another way? How many times have you and I heard from the Lord and we haven't been like, "Yeah, that's awesome, that's great, that's wonderful"? We've been like, "Is there somebody else? Is there another way? Is there
that's
another plan?" Right. And
that's
so that's how really it all evolved and came about.
And when God told me to do this, radio ministry, I'm like, yeah, you don't know who you're talking to.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, so I understand completely. But who wouldn't want to be in the ministry? You only work one day a week as a pastor, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what people think, that you do nothing, you don't study, you don't pray, you don't visit, you don't counsel. You're not on the phone, you don't have ear problems because your phone is stuck to your ear 24/7. You're on call all the time. It would be nice if everybody had a problem at 3:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
the problem is that everybody has their issues at 3:00 in the morning. So, when you're running on little sleep, nobody really cares because our job is to be servants. Jesus came to serve, not be served. Our goal ought to be to outserve people. And so we're not really afforded that luxury. I always tell people, and I say it in a little tongue-in-cheek, a little joking around, but there is some seriousness there. You might appreciate this, but some people would not. But I always say ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people.
Exactly.
Because people are difficult.
Ministry would be great if it was just me and God.
Nobody ever calls you up and says, "Listen, I'm having such a great day. I just wanted you to know that. Everything is fantastic in my life. I'm applying the words that you're teaching me, and they're really blessing me." No one does that. But, boy, they sure call you up and complain. If they got somebody needs to be married or buried, or if they got an issue, or, they'll volunteer you for a lot of different things do to try to help people in the name of God, and don't realize, you have a life. And that's why it's important for pastors to sort of set boundaries and make sure they prioritize their life so they don't get caught up in that mess. Yeah. Because pastoring is difficult, and it's certainly more than one day a week. People talk about the weekend and the weekend getting off. Well, the weekend is not a slower time for me. The weekend's a busier time for me.
Correct. Me too.
So, you know, people don't understand a lot of the sacrifices and the cost and the price you have to pay to walk in and under an anointing to make a difference and having a positive effect on people's lives.
My kids will sometimes say, hey, on Saturday, we're going to go do this, this, and the other thing. You know, are you going to come? Saturday is my big work day. I mean, that's like a 10-hour day on Saturdays.
You know?
Sunday isn't too much better. It's like an 8-hour day on Sundays.
Right. And that's a work day, you know, and you go, you preach, you minister. You know, you get up there, you give everything you got, and, you know, I want to come home and rest. I'm not, you know, I'm sometimes forced to have to go out and eat and fellowship and, you know, deal with more things. But, man, it's tough because Sunday is a work day for us.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, the only thing I try and make a point of doing other than, you know, church and worship and all that on Sunday and do my ministry stuff, but I'm following the New Orleans Saints. I'll probably lose some listeners over this, but I can't say how anybody can be saved if they're not a Saints fan.
Yeah. Well, they're doing good this year. And remember, Louisiana is the state of the year.
Exactly. Yeah, there
it's
you go.
It's the 18th state. And so, also, when you go into 2019, remember, bronze is the color for 2018.
Oh, wow.
Got a lot of bronze in the Saints colors, right?
There is. Oh, wow.
And then it's also the state to watch because it's the 18th state that came into the Union. And look how good they're doing. Right now, they're set for a first-round bye, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That doesn't mean a lot until the games start playing, but wow, that's sure a great advantage to have going into the playoffs.
Yeah, a whole new season. Well, let's shift now to the Prophetic Almanac for 2019. All right, what has the Lord shown you or what you've discerned from your Bible study time that we should be watching for in 2019? And explain what 2019 is all about.
Well, 2019 is sort of the beginning of a new era. The number one is the first single number. The number nine is the last single digit number. Mm. So it's the beginning of an era, but it's the end of an era. So you'll begin to see and hear that word new era. For the past 3 years, we've been hearing about the word reset, reset, reset. Reset really wasn't a commonplace word in society until about 3 years ago when I believe the Lord gave us prophetically that word, and we begin to see that word reset begin to come into just commonplace verbiage in our society. And we've heard it so much, we think it's been around forever. Yes, that word has been, but man, you hear it everywhere. Resetting in every area, politics, home life, marriages, church, whatever it may be. And now you're going to begin to hear the word new era. And so you see a lot of things in the Bible where 19 is connected to that new era that we're going to begin to walk in. So there's going to be a time of closure. There's going to be things that end up ending and new things that end up beginning in our lives. Israel was ruled by 19 kings. It wasn't even God's will, you remember, for kings to even be allowed to rule. But God gave in and gave the people the permissive will. And there was 19 kings that ruled Israel before God allowed them to be conquered by the Assyrians. So that era changed. That era ended at the number 19. 19 kings was it. And so, you know, this is something where God is saying it's a new day. It's a new era. 19's the last year for the age of a child being a teenager. And then they go into more of an adult era in their life. And so you're going to hear that word, new era, new era. You also see the word, you're also going to see that 2019 is about wisdom. The word in Hebrew for wisdom is yod tet. So it's Y-O-D and then T-E-T-H. The word yod is the one, and that means hand. And the word teeth, T-E-T-H, is worldly wisdom. So when you put that together, it's the hand of worldly wisdom in operation in our land. Now, we're believing God for godly wisdom to be released, and we don't walk in worldly wisdom. But the word 19 revolves around worldly wisdom. That's the Hebrew word. That's its literal definition. I didn't make this up. This isn't something I just pulled out of my ear. It is what it is. The 19th time Isaac is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 24:66, where Eleazar gives Isaac wisdom and understanding. The 19th letter in Hebrew in the Hebrew alphabet is K-O-F. That's the 19th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which means God responds in a still small voice with reason and wealth. So God's going to give you a wealth of wisdom. He's going to give you reason. You know, just because you have the Lord in your life and the power of the Holy Spirit leading you doesn't mean God throws common sense out the window.
Yeah.
So God is going to use common sense and godly wisdom to give you direction in 2019. It's also a number of faith. When you read in the Bible, even in Hebrews chapter 11, there's 19 people that are mentioned as heroes of faith. That's not a coincidence. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through Romans chapter 5, when Paul gave his famous message on faith, if you read that message from Romans 3:23 to Romans 5:2, you'll see 19 times he mentions the word faith. So the 19th time Paul is even mentioned in the Bible is in Acts chapter 15, verse 36, where he wanted to return to the cities that he previously visited on to check on the condition of their faith. When you look in Genesis chapter 7, verse 13, that's the 19th time Noah is mentioned in the Bible, and that's where Noah enters the ark as an act of faith. Abraham is mentioned. The 19th time he's mentioned in Genesis 13, verse 1, is where Abraham leaves Egypt and returns to Canaan. He did that by faith. A new era began. So you see that new era of faith and wisdom are going to be the three main themes for 2019, because that's what the number 19 really revolves around, is those three key principles in the coming year.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. We are interviewing today our good friend, Pastor Bill Jenkins from Destinyland Christian Center out in California and Book of Acts Church over in Indiana. Now, he has written a book each year for the past several years called The Prophetic Almanac. And this year's Prophetic Almanac is what we're talking about in these episodes today and tomorrow. The Prophetic Almanac is vision and insight, and from years of studying numbers and symbology and things like that from the Bible, and he puts it all together in a way that you probably have not heard before. If you've been paying attention to this episode, you understand what I'm talking about. You have to come back tomorrow to catch the rest of this broadcast, because this is so fascinating. You do not want to miss it. You need to order his book. Go on Amazon, get this book, and have it sent to your house and start studying as part of your personal Bible study time, because it will impact how you watch the news at night. Till tomorrow, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.